Dann haben wir das ja. Hey, wer probeert in te bellen?
Ja.
We krijgen hem niet erdoor.
Ja, ik bel nu ook in.
Oké, dan stop ik met inbellen.
Ja, het zal zo wel gaan. We hadden hem denk ik dubbel open.
Oké.
Maar er zijn zoveel locaties waar vandaan we dat kunnen doen.
Okay.
Maar wat ik nog steeds, ik heb nog niks.
Hebben jullie twee systemen dan nu?
Ja, Marten wou weer zijn eigen systeem. Ja, ik krijg alleen maar disconnect en call.
Sorry, Marten. Do you have a different IP address now? Over this thing call us.
We hebben nou, nu is er wel aan het bijlen.
The number that you're trying to call, which one is it?
What is the IP address?
Yeah.
1051-1030.
Yeah, that should be good.
Is that the same as you were trying?
No, that's not our address.
At least it's yours, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the speed is only 512 kilobits.
That makes nothing to me.
No, but it's not going. It doesn't connect. Do you get the same error message? Disconnecting call.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, then we need some help probably from somebody. Yeah, shall we, I'll put you on speaker. We can already start on the by phone then.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Yeah. Are you asking for help?
Yeah, Mart is asking for help, yeah.
Okay.
Shall we one minute.
Videoconference tot stand met Sky. Kan je iemand
zien wat? Ja. Shall we start with F1?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just a weekly update. Yeah, from your end then.
Yeah, I mean it's we still have most of the questions that we discussed last week have been answered. So far, on the development side, I don't know if you've seen that Maxwell is going to Sydney to help with the development. Jan Banjer is going to lead the development of the market links in Sydney. The total development time, they described in a document I haven't compiled it to one main document, but it looks somewhere 6 months from today. Until implementation. On the infrastructure side, BAS made some recommendations regarding infrastructure, also regarding people. Time to implementation he expected in total would be right about for the org infrastructure 2 to 4 weeks, but the total other infrastructure would be around like 2 months. On top of that, he suggested certain skill sets related to certain people, but we're still trying to figure out how many people exactly that would be. And Jan Martin is conferencing that with Michael and Bas.
I did this morning.
Okay.
And he will detail it on Monday, but what we will need is 3 Unix guys with slightly different expertises, let's say sub-expertises on the Unix front, but rough and about 3 FTE for with Unix expertise.
Okay.
That's what you need to what you need for support, and of course that's not including the support that's delivered by the developers.
Yeah.
So we will need that's the estimate currently. At least a team of 3 developers to keep it up and running there,
mm-hmm.
And 3 support guys. And I will detail the expertise together with Michael on Monday morning, and then send it over to Kevin, so Kevin can match it to what he already has and what he thinks he can use, or whether he thinks he will need 3 brand new hires.
Yeah, or maybe he can send some people on training or something like that. But that's up to Kevin to decide that. Yeah. Yeah, for the 3 developers, outside Maxwell, we've discussed it with Charles, and Charles and Jessica have set out a recruitment plan.
Yeah.
And that's just started getting in motion as of probably 3:30 yesterday. So based upon Australian specs, the job description has been sent out, and they'll go through recruitment as they do through Australian standards.
Okay. There's one other thing that I would like. That's let's say to formalize the project structure.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this with Michael, and what I had in mind was not too heavy, not too top heavy, but to that you would be the overall project leader.
Yeah.
That Michael would have the delivery, so the development.
Yeah.
That Kevin, but I'll come to that, Kevin would have, and it's an important part of the project, the managing and the setting up of the F1 support in Chicago, of course, with a lot of aid of one boss over in Australia and the developers that will visit Chicago. But that Kevin will take that responsibility, say? If he has the time for it, of course, because he has a lot of responsibilities too. But I think you should have someone in the lead to implement the support structure over there.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, how would you feel about it? So that the daily project team, project leading, would be, in principle, Bastian, so you, Michael, and Kevin probably, and when needed, Charles could attend for in-depth technical questions. Does it make sense to you?
That makes sense to me. Like right now, I mean, Boss has been quite involved in describing the infrastructure, but I think it makes most sense that Kevin takes the lead on this end because he's actually has to implement it.
Okay. And then, yeah, basically...
Play into that, because that's a question that I asked you before.
Yeah.
You said it would be somewhat like a steering committee.
Yeah, I would prefer, let's say, to have your steering committee. To have a steering committee, which is basically here, for example, me and Randall, or Joel, if you want to be in, and then you would each Friday, give a report about it in this, and then we have a separate agenda point every day, like every Friday, like we more or less already have, where we report and where we can, if needed, take very high level project decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, this makes sense. It's sort of in line with what I described. That I described Charles as the lead of development instead of Michael. I think Michael probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now we decide on that.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Basically, that was what. Did you already receive the requirements from Michael?
We even responded back to it already.
Oh, you're so fast. Okay, I thought it was a very good document for starters. What about what do you think?
I think it's pretty much in depth, and it describes all the potential issues that we could see on the remote trading end.
Well, experienced people like you.
Right? Didn't get that. Could you say that again?
Well, I just made the joke. I said, and how is it for experienced people? Experienced project managers.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You should ask an experienced project manager.
That's you?
No, this is a first timer.
No, you're skilled in an experienced project manager.
Ah, okay.
Perfect. Don't do it anything less. But Chris, you make sure he delivers on time, eh?
Oh, don't worry about that.
All right, thank you. That's what I like to hear.
I'm trying to put the deadline at like the end of 2009 right now.
Very good, very good. Okay, so that's a project organization. Then we have, let's say, two reasonably short-term deliverables. The first one is, let's say, to sign off the requirements, so have agreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is, and that will have to come from Michael, he's already preparing that, make a, let's say, enough detailed project development scheme, so yeah, that there are milestones on which you can get reports and steer a bit and to check whether everything is okay.
Sure.
Okay, that's all. For me, that's all with regards to the F1 project right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the other issues can be discussed at a later time.
Okay. Well, more or less related is when Maxwell is going over to Australia, you said he was very fond of the idea.
Yeah.
But first he has to finish the NASDAQ to Actor feed script.
Yeah, you spoke to him?
I did not. You would speak to him.
Okay, I spoke to him.
Yeah.
He's fond of the idea, yeah.
Yeah.
I've also heard from Jessica that there is no visa requirement, so that he could leave relatively soon on like a travel visa, and his training would be no problem.
Okay.
I'm not really sure yet how long the NASDAQ to Actor project will take, but hopefully he'll get back with the timeline on that. That's good.
Yeah. Well, it's not. I'm thinking in terms of a few weeks, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, you do too.
Contact Charles and now maybe Jan, just to make sure that if you're building into a specific protocol, at least make it similar to the protocol that they're using right now in Australia.
Okay.
One comment while we're on this subject. I didn't mention it in my emails this week, Randall, because I was on... I just had a day off at the time.
Yeah.
But, Arwen had an incident where his rocks feed froze just before figures this week, and we lost like $250,000 on it.
Okay.
What?
The thing that, this project of Maxwell that we're trying to replace, that we don't trust and think is unreliable, proved those suspicions correct this week by breaking down during some oil figures and quite a cost of like $250,000. What we've done is we've looked, the IT guys are still looking into it with Roch to see what exactly the issue was. It seems pretty clear that it wasn't on our on our server side. And we've gone through and, again, checked our safety settings. They could have been a little bit better, I have to say, but even if we'd have had them exactly how we think they should be, it wouldn't have made so much difference. It would have maybe saved a quarter of the cost, something like that. But, that was pretty nasty.
Oh, but what happened to the feed? He normally got...
Well, the rocks feed is just pretty unreliable. And but normally that unreliability takes the form of inversions, with which when they give inverted markets, then we pull our quotes. Or the other issue that it does is it's
too wide.
Yeah, it goes. You see it going wide, and or it being just completely completely zero market, or completely the wrong price, or something like this. In which case we have safety settings at full market, but in this case, more or less, it just stopped, and we do have a safety setting that says, after so many seconds of no updates, then pull. But what happened here was that it just stopped working about 10 seconds before oil figures, and
But we were already expecting the numbers coming out, of course, and they were falling wider because of it.
Yeah.
And the exposure in general is large because you quote on three independent exchanges, and those safety settings aren't set as a group, but they're set by exchange.
But
safety settings were triggered and they did work, but I mean the total exposure was still great.
So that's this is of course something that we know about, and something that we knew at risk. It's just quite unfortunate that it happens. But the day before Maxwell was about to start on his project.
Yeah. And if Maxwell has got his NASDAQ feed, do you also still rely on NICE feed for your equity option trading?
For Arwen, the preference would probably for him to have NICE feed, but he can get away with the NASDAQ feed, and it would be preferable to the current situation.
Yeah, so if Maxwell has built NASDAQ to Actor, you don't need rocks anymore?
No. Not
at least not for feed purposes.
Exactly.
Yeah, you still need it for hedging purposes, right?
Right, but it's satisfactory for that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Then the third IT thing, the short cell investigation.
Yeah, what exactly was the question on this?
I've been there a while, of course, and Adrian keeps asking me what the hell do we want with it? My question is it still necessary? Of course, we left it, long ago, is it? And Bastian made one comment about a rumor that it would be abolished at a certain stage.
Mm-hmm.
But is it now yet? Yeah, is it a request? Does IT have to do anything about this short sell? Do we have to implement it other than we use at the moment?
It's still a rule. It's still being reviewed by other departments. We did get audited on it last August by the PhilEx, and we did write up that we had some violations. They did notify us that they recommended a letter without action. So, no real sanctions based on those violations. The SEC, or some people within the SEC, have still commented that this part of the reg shell should be abolished, but the timeline, as normally is with regulators, is, it could be a year away. Right now, we go the individual instances that it happens, and just with good education of the traders and with the systems that we currently have in place, we seem to be okay. And if it becomes more of an epidemic, that we have more and more violations, then we should address it at that point in time. Right now, I don't think we need to address anything in specific.
Okay. Well, you couldn't have made me happier, so we can remove it from the list?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Done now, then we'll inform Adrian.
Yeah. I thought that you had a short sale investigation on your end.
Yeah, but that's also the one or two. I haven't heard any. Nobody's pushing me to do anything about it over here.
I mean, if there are changes in the regulatory spectrum, I'll let you know.
Ask them to hurry up.
Exactly.
Because, of course, we know that in time we will, it will be likely at least that we have more issues.
Sure.
At least we run the risk of having more issues. Do you guys have any other IT? These are the three things I had.
I have one. I noticed that still there's a bit of tension more or less between sport over there and sport over here about what authorizations Chicago should have and what authorizations Amsterdam should keep. And it leads a bit to irritations every once in a while, but I will address them together with Rolly and Kevin in one meeting the following week.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin has written down pretty much all the authorizations that he would like to have for the Chicago office.
Yeah. I gave them to Rowley, and the answer is not, satisfactorily to Kevin in every respect. But I will have a meeting with the two of them, and I'm sure we'll have a sane division there.
Yeah, and one thing I'd really like to mention for the daylight savings times, which happens this weekend, which
mm-hmm.
is normal. Kevin has requested a couple of services from Amsterdam that need to be performed on our servers. I'm not sure how that's going, but that actually needs to be addressed, because otherwise there might be some issues on Monday. And there might be issues on your end as well, but I don't know what the impact is of that.
No, I think Rodi already is taking care of it, but I will check it right after this meeting.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, that's all from me on the IT side.
Anything from you?
No.
Okay, then we can dismiss your market.
Thank you, sir.
Then the trading things?
Trading.
Or other. First, the TASIS.
First?
TASIS.
Okay.
Traded settlements. Starting from a risk point of view, I could see, or at least I see three different situations. One is being the position that we have traded before the expiration begins. That's like vulnerable to risk that we cannot trade anymore, let's say. So that the exchange is closed or whatever.
Yeah.
How have you solved this?
That the exchange is closed, then we would be in quite some problems, I believe, but they can't accept the settlement. But yeah, I would want to know how they're going to do the settlement thing. So yeah, we can look into that. If we have technical problems, that we have the brokers to that could trade us trade futures for us on the floor.
Okay, and you have the number of those brokers. You know who to call and what to do then already.
And with regards to our systems, we also have backup systems. Huh? So we have the TT as an alternative to the EchoWare.
Yeah, and but the products only trade only on the CME at the time, huh?
On Globex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we have at least if the ICE expirations, you always have the CME as a backup, let's say.
Well, not the Brent.
No, not the Brent, but they trade the crudes. I mean,
the crudes expire at the same time as each other. So you have the two exchanges as a backup for each other for the crude, let's say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. That already helps.
Yeah.
But I definitely think you should look into. I mean, I can see the brokers. So if we cannot trade you, we have the brokers. But if the exchange closes, you definitely need to know what the rules are.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, maybe it's just an opening print of the next day, but it's very important that you know what to do with your possibly 100 or 200 million that you have left.
Yeah.
Then the second and the third positions I see, just before, we have a position we pre-buy or pre-sell before the expiration begins.
Yeah.
And then we have a position going into the expiration.
Yeah.
But to begin with the latter one, yeah, I don't see that as such a big risk, because even if there is a market movement or we have an opposite party,
yeah,
we still we are just going for VWAP and yeah, I'm sure we you try to be on bids or offers and might be a bit messy, but the worst thing, you will do a couple of things worse than VWAP.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's of course with a big enough position it can hurt you, but it's not a huge risk or anything, I think.
I think if you look for risk management purposes or something, if you said you missed it by 30 ticks, that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge, and then you should fire the trader doing it.
Exactly.
that's just I don't know what he has been doing then. but that makes also the, if you see funny things happening just up till the expiration, you can still decide not to pre-buy or pre-sell.
Exactly.
Yeah, so actually the biggest concern next to the two is the part we have pre-bought or sold.
Yeah.
And I was happy with that, because that's where we can set the limits for.
Yeah.
So actually the limits I gave you, and maybe now they're a bit big, but I don't have... I think that's the amount we should limit to maybe 40 or 50 million for an underline.
So the amount that we can do beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't have a problem if you have already traded, and Johan should step in when he doesn't agree, for example, 5,000 futures, but you should limit to pre-buy or pre-sell probably only 500.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I also think
500,000 barrels.
Yeah, 500. But let's say I let's say 50 million. They can pre-buy or pre-sell 50 million, and then pretty close. But that's what we want anyway. Pretty close before. So you're talking a couple of minutes before that it happens.
Exactly.
And pre-buy or pre-sell 50 million, depending on per commodity, and then whatever. But they might have maybe 300 million during the period.
No, Bas just wrote it down, but exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
There is a difference, though. For example, let's say I'm going to buy oils and I'm going to sell gasolines. The amount that you'd be willing to do beforehand in that spread
is
bigger than the amount if you were just doing them both in the same direction.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because they spread out a little bit anyway.
Let's say you do these the risks that you've just described.
Yeah.
Let's say I just had one product, and I did 500 of them beforehand.
Yeah.
And then there's a big market move or the exchange falls down or whatever.
Yeah.
500 is 30 million.
No, let's talk to 500 is 50 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, in crude it's 30 million. That's right. But yeah.
Okay.
30 million. All right.
Okay, so if I have a position of 30 million deltas.
Yeah.
Just in one thing, or I had 30 million. I bought 30 million in crude beforehand, and I sold 30 million in gasoline. Yeah, this is just this is way lower risk, of course.
Yeah.
So.
I assume it can be manipulated, let's say, by major oil companies or whatever with 1%.
Definitely. So I don't say. Listen, I don't say it's no risk.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
See, I'm talking for the sort of disaster scenarios.
Yeah.
I see that as being a lower risk. So.
Because now I'm alert, because normally then suddenly Tuesday or Wednesday I think have we thought on that, so I have to be now very careful. Now first of all, Jung, is he completely aware of Bastiaan? Because Jung is also at least partly your responsibility.
Yeah, I mean I spoke to Jung about the task contracts themselves. There is an issue that he can't really see improperly in the systems.
Yeah, but does he understand it and does he...
He understands I went through the basics, how it works and what we exactly do, and he understands that part of it. But I during the day, right now, he can't really assess the risk, and at the end of the day, everything settles in an actual future contract, so he can't really see what we've done during the day.
Yeah, his first priority is to check all positions once a day, all right? But it is also a little bit, can he understand it and everything? It
depends on the scenario.
I tend to agree, but all the products are cash settlements?
No, they all settle in the physical future, but the future doesn't have a delta until you get to settlement price.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, but let's... The physical... Yeah, but you have then to deliver something or to buy something.
You agree to sell or buy at the VWAP certain amount of futures.
Yeah, right. And then you have to...
And during the 1 or 2 minute period, you get it back.
Yeah, okay.
So we intend to have a zero position at the end of every... At 1:31 every day, we intend to have a zero position.
Yeah. But as I described it now, Chris, I see it that you can have bigger limits then, because what we normally said, 1,000, or what we had said, that was for having in position.
Yeah.
But like I'm suggesting now, you can, I want to suggest you can have 250 million underlying in position, but only pre-buy 50 million. And if you have a combination of positions, then I'd like to see a schedule what position you then can pre-buy.
Exactly. I'll ask Farab to do that for you.
Yes, but I like to have a second thought, because now the numbers are getting quite...
I get those numbers from the AX expiration.
Yeah, but for me a little bit, with I like to have some additional information about... the size of the market and so on, because when you're talking about, let's say, S&P future IEX or whatever, you're talking about an underlying basket of 400 or 500 billion.
But we like it to be little, eh?
We make our money from...
Because my next sentence was exactly, this goes until we get... This is all built on the idea that we can control the VWAP. Yeah, as soon as we get indications that we can't, we are not going to do it anymore, actually, or not like this, at least.
Exactly. And that's why we're also more cautious, way more cautious, in the crude oil than we are in the products.
Yeah. So the illiquidity is a good thing. Yeah. To come back to Johan's thing.
Yeah. Basically, all, the reason we make our money, Johan, is this. People say that these trade at settlement contracts, somebody says, okay, 1,000 gasoline futures I want on the settlement price.
Yeah.
Essentially, they demand huge liquidity in a product that's just not that liquid. And so what we do is we say, okay, we'll take those from you, and we just spread those futures out over, instead of a two-minute period, we spread them out over a three-minute period, let's say.
Yeah, I understand, yes.
So we make our money from.
Yeah, it's exactly, you know, like trading the basket without any professional counterparties and only a retail person.
Yeah, and that's a really nice given thing. And that's at least what we can explain from a fundamental point of view that it is true, and what we also see to be true, and that's why I'd like to do it.
And this can work. My experience is that it worked in the basket, let's say, for over a year. I think from 87 till the beginning of 88. And then some other traders were doing it on a huge way, and then you could better have no position because you were all
contacting
each other.
Yeah.
But this is, to be honest, what I expect. I expect at a certain stage some other people to, let's say, spot it, which is why we want to disguise as much as possible and keep it, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, very good. Yeah, and talk with nobody about it, although I think quite a lot of people are aware of it already.
We don't want to be pushing up the futures in the expiration. I actually don't want that big positions. Let's say I'm going to do 500 beforehand. My ideal, let's say in the gasoline, for example, I think my ideal position is going to be around 1,000 because then I do 500 beforehand and I have 500 to push. I can definitely push it. I'm very unlikely to go the other way, but I'm also not doing it so dramatically that it's, people are talking about it on CNBC and things like this.
Exactly. So. And Bastiaan is checking all the possible compliance risks, eh? It's Steve.
In our conversation last week, I think it was on Thursday, I mean, I believe that we are only hedging ourselves and there's no manipulation in the market manipulation.
Oh, I agree completely with you. I don't consider this as being manipulation, but I know all the discussions until the last day. And I'm not aware of all the details at this time, but for example, the London Stock Exchange is really checking whether you won't sell anything more than you actually need to sell.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing that I talked to Farad about already. We already had that discussion, but because what we noticed is actually, and this comes back to the genuine flow part, that what we noticed was that, let's say we're going to buy things, make it go higher, it even, you might expect, because this is sort of artificial and pushing it up, that it comes back down afterwards. But what we've seen is, if anything, it tends to continue the same way. In other words, there seems to be genuine flow or buying pressure.
Yeah, okay, now let's leave it that way as long as possible.
I've asked Stephen to look into it on an anonymous basis just to see if there was an issue, if there could be a potential issue.
But what you could do then is, of course, buy extra during the time to get it even higher and then sell them out at the end. But we discussed that this is something that we see as, potentially could be seen as market manipulation, so we decided to stay away from that.
Okay, agreed.
Yeah.
So also with the 50 and the 250?
No, I think that's a good suggestion from you. I'm going to come also, I'll get Farad to write down about if we had opposing things, how, what he sees as a difference in risk, and I'll come with a proposal for you.
Yeah.
Hey, about what Randall calls the 50 and 250, I like to have some sort of indication about the total size of the market.
Okay, I'm just going to, excuse me for 20 seconds, Brad's got about 600 gasolines in his position, I'm just going to make sure he's not hacking them too much.
I mean, they asked Doug to make some kind of
tool where they can estimate the volume during that time period, so you can better see what kind of impact you have on the market. Correct? Can they ask Doug to make some time tool where they can see what kind of impact they have?
We've been running analysis on because we're trying to improve how we make the VWAP as much as possible. We've been running analysis on the volumes traded over the minutes before, the minutes during, how it goes, so we can better approach the VWAP apart from anything. But I'll quite easily be able to get some of the information you want, I think.
Yeah, what I'd like to get is like a daily, because it's quite big, so I'd like to get the volumes traded, what we traded, the strategy that we followed, etc. Because you then you all trade the products now, the crude, the heating oil, and the thing. I'd like the minute marker to be done over here for the moment, so I can get a feel for exactly how it's going.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if we're really done, and of course we'll move them again if it is profitable, but that speaks for itself.
actually the biggest hurdle for me probably would be who's going to take over his role. So that's something you have to answer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have to think of, but you have time to think about it or to work on an alternative maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, then is there news on the move or the building?
I've discussed with Ari and Jan Maarten how we're going to transfer the feel and look from the Amsterdam office to the Chicago office.
Yeah.
Regarding engineering and all the installations and the infrastructure, we're going to have a U.S. engineer also write up all the plans and have it checked by ABT.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we interviewed architects and engineers, and I'll show to Ari which one I would prefer to pick and show him the pricing and give him some comments regarding to that. The most important one is the interviewing of the technical consultant who is building a server room and laying out the infrastructure. That will be done hopefully by the end of next week. With regards to the building, general pricing on the lease, I think we're pretty much you've seen the bottom on it. But right now we're working on the base building work letter. How is the building gonna deliver the space? How would they? We first wanted them to do a lot of work on it, but we still want them to do work on it. But there's of course the cost involved to that. We're negotiating that back and forth and making sure that we get all the right access to put our infrastructure up there. One of the bigger things that we always have out there is Chris and I discussed this with whether or not we would want to input the generator into the building, and I believe it's in flux as well of whether or not you're going to do that in Amsterdam. So we actually think, given my experience over here, so far, power distribution has been good, and you've been fed by two power plants at least.
Yeah.
So the actual failures have been minimal.
Yeah.
So having our own generator right now doesn't seem like a necessity, because it also requires setting your completely entire own cooling infrastructure into the building and then powering it yourself.
Right. But you already have two power plants, you say?
I mean,
we only use one, I think, right?
The building is fed by two separate power grids. So if one fails, the other one picks it up.
Also by two different companies then, or does the company run different grids?
It's pretty much all one company. But it's so if one grid fails, then the other one would take over.
Let me add one extra thing.
Yeah.
In that, the rewards if you stay in when there's a crash should be smaller here as well, huh? So the rewards, the thing that you miss if everything breaks down in Chicago,
yeah,
is you miss a day's trading or half a day's trading.
Yeah.
Whereas in Amsterdam, if there's a huge power failure in Amsterdam with all the other trading companies being there, yeah, you miss a day's trading where nobody else is in the market.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit more valuable. So,
yeah, look, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I've never been a great big US UPC fan at all. So, but if you, if the two of you agree that it's not necessary, especially with a double grid, then
No. We do put a UPS in there, which would give us like 45 minutes on all appliances, on all systems.
Yeah, only for the mayor.
No, for everything.
But just not the generator that will keep you open all day if something strange happens.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have backup power for up to 45 minutes for all systems, and then, the advice would be not to put a generator in there, but to still have the rights on it with the building if we ever want to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else on the building?
Pretty much still receiving all the RFPs. I've got a contractor that I would prefer to lead the project, but I got the pricing from other contractors and I got to beat him down on the price, but he's been he's been pretty good in the selection process of the building and managing this entire process. So I would like to keep him on board, but I just got to work with him on his pricing.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, we are talking to all three buildings, but our primary focus is on Banco.
Yeah, the Prudential one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if it looks fine, also, yeah, you should send it over here, but we should be able to sign it pretty quickly then, I think.
Yeah, once we get the actual document, Steve, of course, is going to be highly involved into making sure the language is correct.
Okay. Do you have any other issues?
I don't think so, really. No, I mean, I'm actually happy with what Jan Martin said this morning, because at a certain point it felt like this F1 project was being led by two different people, where Jan Martin was highly involved as well.
But yeah.
Doing good, I think this works out.
Okay.
I discussed some things with Ari regarding the temporary fix for moving stuff over to Fortis, and we get positions in a CSV and we upload those automatically into Org.
Yeah.
Just need to get more details on that, if that is totally possible. Ari didn't seem negative about trying that, but I mean, it is, of course, you add an extra point of failure into your entire system.
Yeah, and for all, yeah, of course, it's been postponed all the time, but yeah, I hope it will only take another 2 months or so before you finally can move, right?
I hope so too.
Fingers crossed, huh?
I mean, I'm actually pretty, because I was getting kind of worried with current developments, what I've heard for IT, a lot of people going away, two people in the database team.
Yeah.
Sounds like there is decent backup.
Well, at least we're looking for it, or it's already available, yeah.
But I haven't heard that there was any specific added delay on top of...
I'm also heard from Jan Martin, he keeps on naming the same plant base, let's say.
Yeah, that you're done stabilizing the cliff and the orc upload by the end of
March, yeah.
And then Q2, first month, we'll do the Chicago migration.
Yeah, exactly.
And if that's really still
the case, then I wouldn't...
There's not that much added value in...
And I wouldn't start working on a workaround and have people involved again and then for just 1 month of work of value.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know whether... I'm connected on the right spot, but just we spoke with Willem, and I don't know whether it affects you, but his proposal is that when in the morning the import isn't working correctly, we don't override our position. We just continue working with what we had in Org from the day before where we left it.
If it works correctly or if it doesn't work correctly?
If it doesn't is correct. If we are not going, when the import arrives later, and not going to follow the procedure during the day.
Okay, no, I mean that's usually what happens.
But I don't know whether it affects you.
I mean, what is, like, if our import arrives on time, I would imagine that you would still want to upload it in there.
Yeah, when it arrives on time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know exactly how it... I can't oversee that because I see it more as an operational thing. But it looks logical for me. You know, let's say for here in Holland, when the import isn't correct, implemented or whatever, before 8 o'clock or whatever, some cut-off time, then we won't import it for that day. And they still check the position, but on another way, and then they just override it the next day.
That makes the most sense, I think. I mean, that's what has been happening over the last couple of weeks when we were missing imports.
Yeah, but then when the import wasn't being correct, we started importing at 12 o'clock during the day.
I don't think that happened on the U.S. side. That must.
All right. Okay. So maybe my remarks are not right. Yeah. Anyhow, that's what we're thinking of in Holland.
Darren, I had a question.
Yeah.
It is about the requests of the emails from Jung.
Yeah.
And there's something that I just I don't know, something that just doesn't feel right to me, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. That is, I can understand the you wanting to know information about what's going on.
Yeah.
I understand you might want it from a risk, either from a risk perspective or from a trading perspective. But how it seems to be planned for you to get it seems a little bit strange to me, because what's going to happen now is that essentially the traders will do a report to Jung, and then he will, he's going to put that together and forward it to you.
No, that's not the idea.
Because that's how it was at least...
He has to gather the information himself.
Yeah, but he has to gather the information by, he wants the trader to email him what happened, and then he will tell you it, that which to me seems, I can just CC you on what happened if you want.
You know how Wilco works. When I get in Australia, of course he's working around and then he's giving an indication. So basically that's happening the same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it as some sort of a formal process, but he's processing through. I think that I achieved two things. When he thinks, at least he has to write something down. So normally you write down what you think is worth mentioning, and otherwise you forget it. And now he's in fact more or less obliged to have some sort of highlights from every day. Secondly, is what you're reporting to Randall. In fact, risk should have, let's say, a separate line.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well, but the way that it was going to be implemented was essentially...
Okay, now I think it's a good remark, but I think that Bastian, he has to make sure that he can check...
And that Jung is independent, actually.
Yeah, Jung is independent and can check all the details and so on.
The problem for Jung right now is that he's very busy with making sure the risk is right and the positions are right, and giving like a color on what happened in the market is kind of difficult for him to do that at the same time. So the only way he can give color on activity is if he asks the traders, and then you get a similar...
I'll phone with him. I've been maybe to or Willem, but I discussed it, but maybe the Australian, but basically what he should mention, let's say the net leg is this and this, like these results, and what he's doing already is with a day delay. Australian Fed makes two reports. And secondly, he can say we have a big risk in this position or in that position, or everything is within limits and no risky positions.
Okay, but that makes sense. I mean, the P&Ls he can grab from what the traders estimate and what was actually in the sheet in the morning, and then just do a risk assessment and let you know what the actual violations or the risks are.
Yeah, but basically...
The email that you actually forwarded with it was more of a call on the market, what happened, bulls went down, bulls went up. If you want him to do that...
No, he can, of course, when we have a vega position or volatility went down so many points. I think that's also worth mentioning towards me.
Yeah.
Because I now more or less see what's happening, but we discussed it with Wilm as well. You have, in fact, two sides of risk. Wilm is really concentrating on improving the processing, and we have to improve this and this and this. But on the other hand, I want to have risk managers who are on top of the position, in fact are involved, or in the Dutch word, betrokken, which is happening with the trading. And they want to know this position, and not like, oh, next time I want to process it better so that I can see it easier, but just want to check the position whether it's correct and that people stay within their limits.
Of course it's understandable. Everybody would like to go there. Right now, Jung probably doesn't have enough time in his day with all the reconciliation.
No, but I think he must be able to...
If he has the skills yet.
I ask him, he can write it in 3 minutes.
I
he mustn't make a too big thing of it. It's not getting to the Dutch Central Bank or whatever. It's just for internal reports. Secondly, for example, the net leak or whatever, we got it irregular or not on time. And what I hated also a little bit was first Magre did it, and now it's being handled over to who's working with Bob?
Derek.
And nobody looks. I still, in my opinion, when I do risk assessments, I also follow all the results and look whether there are strange results in it.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly I hear, yeah, that's done by Derek, and it's not used as a tool to check whether there might be something not correct.
I mean, that's not completely. Derek pretty much does the processing of the mark-to-market sheets and comes up with the mark-to-market net leak.
Yeah, but for me it's also an input to check.
Now, traders still input their theoretical net leak, although they had some problems up last.
Yeah, but I think that should be done, and I think it would be it should also be visible for risk, and risk should also check that with, and not only risk maybe, but also the traders themselves and also Derek,
mm-hmm.
maybe also you, but Rick, yeah, people should compare whether everything suits, how do you call it, yeah, is correct and logical.
No, I mean, there is a check on that, and Jung can see the check and he can determine whether or not that risk is, that there's too much of a closing difference or something like that. Over the last couple of weeks, the theoretical valuations have been relatively off compared to the mark-to-market, but now things quiet down a little bit. I think that can be better under control again. But there is definitely a check between what people say they get and what actually comes into the sheet.
But yes, and one thing, it looks a little bit. What I've learned, and certainly in bigger organizations, is I don't want to have all paper loads and being reporting. But some key things, you know, even when I wouldn't look at it, by forcing him to report it to me, it makes sure he has looked, or there's something like fraud or whatever. But no.
But John, I'm not arguing that whether or not he should report it to you. I think it's very good if he reports it to you, if he shows you the totals per index group and per group and says, okay, this is what they theoretically estimated, this was in the sheet, it's different because this and this, and whether you look at the description of that, that would be up to you. And I think that's also probably where he could add his skills as a risk manager.
But also in the longer term, I see it also as already implementing, let's say, preparing for growth. For example, when you have such a BlackBerry or whatever as Jelle has, you know, you're sitting in because I think the distance between Chris and Jung is quite big, you know. So when he makes his reports or whatever, and you're with whoever, with Jelle or for yourself or whatever, negotiating some sort of deal in California, you still have the BlackBerry and you can contact Chris what's happening with this position.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see when we continue and you're not sitting there with 10 or 15 people or 20 people anymore, you know, you have just two reporting lines, and the reporting line from Chris is to Randall, and concerning on risk it's you to you and to me, but giving, you know, the time differences, yeah, you're all as well. And I think, yeah, when you don't agree with it or whatever, it's as the situation is now, and I'm not saying it's over 3 years, but as long as you're also responsible for risk in the United States, it means also that you have to agree with every position, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
When Chris wants to go above a certain position, you can't phone always Randall or me. It's first of all, he should get your green light.
Yeah, but I mean, right now,
so the whole line, what you report is not only what I want, but also what you want. And of course, we can change it a little bit. And I definitely agree with Chris that when he would implement some informal stream where he's some sort of a transparent leading it through me without having any visibility that he checked actually those figures. Yeah, it's the same report basically. What maybe Chris sends to Randall? I don't want that.
No, that makes absolute sense. We'll make sure we'll get it in the right format, and then evaluate for the next couple of weeks, and then we can discuss it if you want to.
I think we pretty much all want the same thing. We want two lines. We want independent checks. And,
yeah.
Okay, that's good. Hey, I have one other thing.
Yeah.
That Bas and I just discussed yesterday. That was about we were planning to do our half-year talks pretty soon. I'm going on holiday the week after expiration, and so we were planning to do it the week after that, but we also were curious about when people would be hearing their bonuses and when we would be discussing that.
The last week of March, everybody get to hear their bonuses, so... the week after expiration, it is more or less when I would be showing you the lists I have, of course, for all your people.
So it's another postponed holiday for me.
We can probably Monday or Tuesday after or so, and maybe have something to show already next week.
To be more precise, I want to discuss some issues with Jelle. And then Randall can discuss everything with you, okay?
Randall, just so you know, I've not booked a holiday yet. I was just planning to visit a friend, but I've not booked anything yet. So if you...
It doesn't have to take too long. You get a proposal for your... like you got last year, you see the entire list and you can make some adjustments or have questions, and I do the same with the others.
Okay.
Next week probably, the five of you get your thing. So that's out of the way. You know your own thing, and you can look to the others.
Okay.
Hey, with the partners over here, do you want to be involved in the half year talk with them?
Half year talk? It's March.
End of year talk.
Normally the partners end of year I do with Johan as well.
Yeah, basically the last time we spoke to everyone was while you were here, of course.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind or actually like to have a video conference with the two of you and the partner on that end, and Johan and me on the other end listening in.
Yeah, okay.
So if you can schedule that they're in with Iris, because it's only four anyway, right?
If you include Marcel, Richard,
Richard is not here, is
he? No.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Just schedule him in for whenever there's room.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And last thing, you the new limits you tell to Jung and Willem as well, okay?
I'll let Boss do it.
Yeah, of course, he's a risk here. Okay.
All right. Hey, have a good weekend.
And you.
I'll let you know about how it goes today.
Yeah, please do.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.